This is just a follow-up from my heart. I love Peter's life. If you haven't studied Peter in the Bible, what I so love about Peter, the more that I learn and get to understand just the raw man that he was, the mistakes that he made, the things that he was just wide open. I mean, I so love the fact that he would put his foot in his own mouth so many times. Man, hallelujah for an example like that. Gives me hope. And, you know, then when you read 1 and 2 Peter, when you see this, and to me it's a great example of the Christian life. Because you see, we get a glimpse of this raw human being that's coming to Jesus. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's taking him on. He's challenging him. He's telling Jesus he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm like, oh yeah, that's good stuff right there. But then you read 1 and 2 Peter, and you see the depth of what he's learned. And you see how God has transformed his thought processes and his spirit and his mind. It's just such a beautiful thing. And so I'm hoping that as we go through this morning, there'll just be a reminder to all of us how important it is, certain things, just to keep it simple. And I don't know about you, but I've been alive long enough that I feel like that our world gets more complicated with each passing day. And so that creates new challenges for us. And as a church family, just like what we talked about last week, we have to learn to keep it simple. Now, I'm going to encourage you on your own to read the first 21 verses. This chapter is action-packed. Man, it's got some deep stuff. But we're going to start in verse 22, if you'd read along with me. I'm reading from the New King James. Peter said this, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible." This whole process, like it says in John chapter 14, of being born of the Spirit, it's not something that we get from our parents. It's a personal choice that each and every one of us make. But it's this transformational new birth of the Spirit. That's a choice that we all make. "Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." There's a continuation here. There's God's truth, God's Word, who God is. It's going to be a forever thing. It's not just temporary. And then he says this, "All flesh," in some of your versions it says people, so I just inserted that. "All flesh," all people, "is as grass. And all the glory," and some of your versions say beauty, "all the glory or the beauty of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever." Now this is a word which by the gospel was preached to you. So this morning, I just want to remind you of some simple things, and as we get started, I think it's important that we look at the word glory in the Greek. I think it's important that we understand that this word glory has different meanings in different applications, and so here's some of the meanings. The word glory can mean an opinion, a judgment, or a view, or it can mean an estimate, whether it's a good or bad estimate or view, or it can mean splendor or brightness, or a most glorious condition, most exalted state. But in verse 24, the meaning in the Greek seems to have more to do with the idea of human magnificence or excellence, like your wealth of resources. Now, if you think back to certain cities during the New Testament times, that they were, like Corinth was a trade route. It was near water. You know, there was usually water, a travel way, so they had some wealth and resources. The greatness of cities, you know, education, libraries, all these different things, fertile lands, or how people, and this is a different twist, but how people used to be buried, because in the past, people were buried to look regal or to look glorious even at their death, almost like they weren't dead. So it's this whole idea from a human standpoint of this level of excellence or magnificence. Can I just throw my slang interpretation on it? when it says the glory of man or woman, what are you proud of? Think about that. For us, as human beings, what is it that we're involved in? What do we invest in? What do we do that we're proud of? It's like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. You know, whether it's your collection. Then I had a guy stop me in Lowe's. And he started talking to me about his coin collection. Really sweet guy. I got like a 10-minute education in plumbing aisle on coin collection. Well, I walked away going, that dude's proud of his coin collection. There's a sense of glory in that coin collection. You know what I'm saying? So what is it? Let me ask you this morning. What is it about your life that you're super proud of, like, where you invest? You it is a priority. You make it a priority. It's something that it's, and that's what I'm talking about. That becomes a glory for us. That becomes a glorious thing to us as human beings. What is that? Think about that. The glory of man or woman. What are we proud of? And we must be willing to do some deep evaluation regarding our own hearts, souls, and minds. Now, I've got a video up here because I love this whole process. Sorry, switch things up on you. Did I? From last time? All right. So I was looking for this because what's funny is I was looking for this time frame, you know, or what do you call it? Lapse? Time lapse? My mind just went blank. Yeah, time lapse thing. So I just think it's cool because this illustration is trying to show us this is what you're like. Like the flowers grow up in the field and it's like, what? So check this out real quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, wasn't that glorious? That was glorious. So what I love, look at these beauties. Now, some of you are meticulous about your lawn. Me, if it wasn't for clover, we wouldn't have a green lawn. So I got a lot of care going on at our house. But what I love is like our granddaughters, especially with my wife, our granddaughters come to town and they're like, Nana hung the moon. So they'll go out in the yard. And in our yard, there's a lot of these to choose from, okay? Hope that doesn't offend some of you. But they go out in the yard and they're like, Nana, they pick these and they bring them to them. She's like, oh, thank you. No longer than you take them inside and lay them on the counter, you come back like 30 minutes later and they're like, you know, dried, shriveled up, things falling off. And I'm trying to give us a mental picture of the illustration that he's using and saying, just like what the scripture says, that our life in James, it says that our life is like a mist. It's like a vapor. That it's just here for just a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And in the same way, we're like the grass, and then like the flowers of the grass. Please hear me this morning, that our lives and the things that we invest in can be gone, and your life can be rearranged and changed quicker than most of us can really stop and consider. Just like these flowers. Oh, those are so pretty. Sandra leaned over and said, daylilies. Come up, daylilies, like, poof, poof. Short period of time. That's why I don't plant them. They annoy me. Poof. Man, that thing's gone already. Okay? But think about that. And then it's, what does it say? The glory of man versus the glory of God. And we are a church family that really believes that God exists and that God made a plan for us and he sent his son Jesus. Not to whack us, not to keep us down, but for us to experience a better choice, to actually have a relationship with God and to be able to experience and taste his glory, the glory of God. And so there's a Scottish theologian. I want to read this to you. This is deep. Sinclair Ferguson. He's a Scottish theologian, and I love the way he says this. Since man was made for the glory of God, he can never be what he was intended to be until his life is properly focused on the glory of God. God's glory does not detract from man's life. Instead, his glory is the sun around which the whole of life must revolve if there is to be the light and life of God in our experience. Since we were made for his glory, we will always malfunction whenever we fail to live for that purpose according to the Maker's instructions. That's pretty deep. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I want to draw your attention to that. And if you don't know 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, I want to encourage you to write this down and commit this to your heart and soul. Verse 1 says, therefore, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church that I referenced earlier, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They cannot see this illumination of the good news that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. What we talked about last week, and I just want to use this as a simple reminder that we need to fight to keep things simple. We need to be a family that is learning to live in a way to where that people don't see what we are personally proud of, first and foremost, that we are able to live a life that gives glory to God, and that people can literally see the light of Christ through our lives. Broken, janked up, messed up, struggling human beings? Really? Yes, because that's his plan. That's who he has chosen to use. So I just want to give you some things real quick, and I want to ask you, let's fight to keep things simple and straightforward in a more complicated world. So let me just focus on three things that I want us to focus on that will, if we can focus on these things together, the glory of our Savior will illuminate through this body and God will be glorified. Very simple, the gospel, which is the good news. I just want to say that a real church, a church family, the body of Christ, we exist because of the good news. If a church does not have and proclaim the good news, then something's remiss, something's missing. So let me just remind you what the good news is. The gospel, the good news. Sin separates us from God. And we all have this struggle. From left to right, front to back, every single one of us in here have this innate struggle within ourselves that there are things that battle and rage within us. And we can go through all different things, but the simple term to use biblically is we all have sin. We all have these big boo-boos way down deep inside, and we are drawn to live out those boo-boos. God sent his son to create a path for us to come to Father God. God created, but he did not leave us separated. Jesus was born, he lived, he died, and he rose from the grave to create the gift or the path. These are simple things, but in this complicated world with all kinds of theological presentations, we've got to be careful not to miss the simplicity of the good news. Anyone who will believe in him, confess him, and follow him will be forgiven. Whosoever will. The gift of the Holy Spirit, then the filling of the Holy Spirit, is confirmation of this process. And I want to say this. Some of us come from traditions like I did, where it's almost like the Holy Spirit was the stepchild of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son. And yet, I want to say it this way. That filling is that ability to be controlled by the holy presence of God himself, his Spirit, that abides and lives within the life of somebody who has trusted and has made a decision to follow. And what's amazing is what we do is we easily undermine the glorious beauty of being controlled by his Spirit, because then we are free to experience supernatural breakthroughs on a whole new level. You say, Pastor Tim, I can't do that. Join the club. I can't either. But him through me is amazing. Next thing. But before we go to the next thing, I must say, we must be a church family that is focused on the redemption of lost and broken people. This is not a club. This is not somewhere where we're better than anybody else. None of us are better than anybody else. And we have to be committed to the redemption of broken and lost people. Secondly, the good plan. Nothing's changed. Since Jesus was here, the good plan is just discipleship. That's what it's called, discipleship. He said, go make disciples, make followers. And I just want to remind everybody, that's a relational investment. Making disciples is about relationships. It's also showing people the way day by day. Not on Sundays. Praise God for Sundays. I love us being together. I love us studying, singing, all the what goes on. But it's about discipleship is about showing the way day by day. And then this is the one I want to just really point out. Our flaws, struggles, and pain are the building blocks of our faith journey that are meant to be shared to reveal God's love, grace, and mercy. My tradition, this was missing within a lot of people. Because what I got, especially from the spiritual leaders that I was around, is that somehow they were elevated. They were more holy, more educated, better off than lowly, struggling Timmy. And if I could just be a little bit like them, that's not discipleship. Discipleship is not reaching down and pulling somebody up. Discipleship is walking arm in arm with somebody. And when you get to difficult points, you look and you say, no, man, I get that. How do you understand that? Because I had that same struggle. This is what I used to struggle with. This is how I used to get beat up. This is how I used to, and I still struggle with this. But let me show you what is working in my life, and let me show you what God is using to transform me. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned something just in passing about the fact that I understood depression. And I had people, what was beautiful about that is me just talking about that out loud. I had some people reach out to me, and it was beautiful because they were genuinely concerned. Pastor Tim, are you okay? Like, yeah. I just struggle like everybody else. Well, no. I get depression. I get being attacked. I get going inside myself and all these things that go on, and I'm functioning, I've got all these things going on. And so can I tell you what's happened from that? Because I've just simply honest about struggles of humanity. You think I'm any different than you are with all the things that you're struggling with? No, I still have the same struggle. Hopefully at my age, I've just figured out a little bit of traction in certain ways. And so then what's happened is over the last couple weeks, I've had people reach out to me that have never reached out to me before and willing to talk to me because they feel a connection, because now they feel like I can understand or I can relate to what they're struggling with. You understand that that's supposed to be discipleship within the church? Not this pontificating, oh, I'm better than you. But we walk life with each other and we come alongside of each other and we say, hey, listen, this faith thing, I know it's scary, I know it's new, but this will really work. Let me show you what's happening in my life. That's what the good path discipleship is supposed to be about, that good plan. We must be a church family that is more focused on relationships and people instead of programs. Now, some of you, you're going to say, yeah, I believe that. But a lot of us come from traditions where we want to believe that, but we're so inundated with activity and programs. And we need to continue to be the kind of church family to where we purposefully, intentionally make this thing about relationships and people, not a program. Let me give you an example. What we just celebrated earlier is a perfect example of somebody saying, this is on my heart. This is what's growing inside of me. I must step out and do something. And then because of that, it's about people and it naturally spreads, as opposed to somebody saying, you know what? There's a lot of kids in our area that need foster parents. Intellectually, let's start a program to create education for foster parents. I'm not saying that that's bad, but I'm trying to show you the difference between being program-driven and being people-oriented and people-driven, because when you're program-driven, then you have to come along and staff it. When you're people-driven, you naturally influence and affect other people because of the relationships, and they want to come along and get involved. Does that make sense? So we have to continue to be relationship and people-driven. Next thing. A good attribute. So we got the good news, good plan, good attribute. Very simple. It's just God's love. This is easy to talk about, but this is tough to live. We can talk about love, but we're talking about God's love, not our definition of love. If you were to go across the room, I guarantee there's 100 different definitions of love represented here this morning. I'm not talking about your interpretation of what love means to you. I'm talking about what does God say about his kind of love. And here's what it is. It's real simple. In us, through us, and it unites us. In us. The love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts because of us entering into faith relationship with Jesus. So it's got to be in us. And then at a certain point, if you are a believer in Christ, at some point, it's going to start flowing through you. You just can't stop it. So it's in us, it's through us, and then that's the very thing that begins to unite us. Can I go over here? Am I still? I'm trying to stay there. Stand up, Damon. It's the love of Christ that unites us. Huh? Yeah, you can sit down. That was cool. That was good. I love that. He was like, instead of doing this, he's like, just can I sit down? Absolutely. But think about it. It's not something that we manufacture. It's this is genuine love. And you know what I love about our church family? We got so many different people from so many different backgrounds with so many different interests. We've got just about everything represented in our church family. And what I love about the love of Christ is I feel united with people that on just a human sociological level that I probably wouldn't naturally gravitate to, okay? I've got friends that are like hardcore gamers. I don't even know which button to keep my finger on, okay? And they're like, hey, Pastor Tim, I don't game with third graders. I don't want to be schooled by a third grader. Like, hey, man, don't you know where to go? I don't even know what button to push. But what's really cool is I have this love and I have this connection and I'm willing to sit in the chairs are actually the coolest chairs on the planet, by the way. You know what I mean? They rock and move and swivel. But I'm just saying it's love that creates these bonds and this unifying factor with people that you wouldn't normally hang out with. That's supposed to be church, a family, a body. We must be a church family that is known for incredible God-type love. God-type love. First with one another, and then second with the world at large. I'm just going to tell you, this is not an easy attribute to live out. Because as a spiritual leader in this body, I don't have the natural tendency to love God's way. I want to love based on my definition of love, and usually that means what's easiest and best for me or how you fit into my world, not sacrificially. The specialization of our world creates a complicated landscape, and the pressure of this complex world bears down on us each with each passing day. We must, as a church, fight to keep things simple. If you're a guest here this morning, I hope that you'll be blessed, but I'm talking to our church family this morning. We're glad you're here. But we've got to continue to press in and learn how to be better together. We've got to fight to keep things simple. Some of us this morning need to really simplify our lives. This is a simple lesson this morning, but it has deep ramifications and applications if you're willing to evaluate as I asked you to do earlier. Yeah, I agree. Some of us need to say no to certain things. I said no to some things this week. Nobody knew. But internally, I was like, oh, yeah, I said no. Some of us need to learn to say no to certain things. Some of us need to get rid of certain relationships. Simplify. Some of you, you're addicted to having people in your life. Have you ever heard the term crazy making? No matter what you do, anyway, some of us need to do inventory and rearrange. Talk about simplifying, keeping things simple. Some of us need to declutter and dump or discard certain things. If you're a little annoyed at me this morning, hallelujah, that's not me. Anyway. A simple plan that should help us in your pursuit of Jesus as Lord and Savior. I want to leave you with these two things. If we're going to be the church, if we're going to know God, if we're going to give Him the glory and bring glory to Him, and our lives proclaim the glory of Christ and the good news, quick application with this word. We have to participate. Some of you, you're not growing, you're not pressing, you're not feeling, you're not sensing, you're not growing, because let's just be honest, you're not participating. Have to participate with God by grace through faith, and we have to participate with His church by love and trust. Now, if you're like me and you got trust issues, this whole love and trust church thing is going to take a long time. It's been taking me a long time because Timmy got trust issues. So it's like, yeah, I want to, but whoa, it was a little intrusive there. Whoa, I don't know. You ain't earned that spot in my life. Matter of fact, you need to be quiet right now. That ain't cool. It takes time. But for us to be the family, to for the glory of God, for us as a church family, love and trust are part of this process. But we have to participate. Let me read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21, the ESV. How many of you, if you're following with the Bible app, I love it when God sends a verse this way. Like, I had this, and I'm like, oh yeah, I must be on the right track. Got sent out worldwide. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Church and religion, very controllable. Programs, all these different things. We're talking about the glory of God. We're talking about connecting with God. We're talking about experience. I'm asking you, are you connecting with God to where it goes, boom, blows your mind? Mind-boggling. Let me read it again. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. I don't know about you, but I've got a wide open mind. I can think about a lot of great, incredible things. God can blow my mind? Absolutely. According to the power at work within us. This power that's at work within us is because we are participating with God. We are actively allowing his power to work in us. To him, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is what I long for. This is what I pray for. I believe that our greatest days are ahead of us. But we've got to learn to say a little bit no to the things that we're proud of, and to be able to experience him. And I can just tell you, when you experience the glory of God, when you experience Jesus, it makes you want more of him. Because what I've learned through the years is when I say no to all the things that I was always so proud of, those things can be so easily taken away from me. Those things can be so easily robbed. Some of you know, he's like my brother, and he's still in Maryland. I can tell you, his wife, successful business, great family. God has blessed him in incredible ways. Right now, his wife cares about none of that stuff other than her husband and her family. Because in a moment, on a dime, their whole world was changed and rearranged. And what is most important right now are those relationships that matter. Her husband, her kids, and the body of Christ. That's a family that is clinging desperately to the church for encouragement, love, and affirmation. Let them be an example to all of us of how we need to press in, and let's glorify God. Let's get more of him. See, I'm not being punished by laying my glorious things and the things I'm proud of. No, I'm being blessed by a more glorious, grander experience, which is God himself. But that's up to each and every one of us. And for those of you that are pressing in, you're part of this church family, we have to continue to learn to be what this scripture talks about and what a real family and a real church is, and how do we experience that? Not just but what's been handed to us in our traditions. So let's stand and let's consider these things as we sing this next song. Resurrender. Maybe this morning you need to surrender. Maybe you need to resurrender. I don't know what it is, but let's proclaim and let's respond. Let's participate today.